Filmmaking in Iowa suffered a serious setback a few years ago thanks to a scandal in the Iowa Film Office, but filmmakers and others are moving forward and making a new start. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, an update on filmmaking in Iowa. First, I'll talk with independent filmmaker Dan Stedman, writer and director of the new movie Belleville. It's a film with an unusual premise.
You didn't happen to see me fall from the sky above yesterday, did you?
And an unusual distribution system. I'll also talk with Liz Gilman of Produce Iowa and Scott Thompson of My Town Productions. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, Midwestern film. We'll talk about one in particular with an unusual distribution model, and we'll get an update on the state of filmmaking in the state of Iowa. My first guest today is independent filmmaker Dan Stedman. He is the writer and director of the new movie Belleville. It's a film about a man named Willie. He's withdrawn from his friends, his community, and his life, even, after the sudden death of his 35-year-old wife. Here's a moment from the film, a conversation between Willie and the one person he hasn't been able to ignore, his neighbor, Arlene.
Well, I guess I'll let you go back into your house, your little hobbit hole that no one's allowed to see.
Sounds good.
So?
So I guess you can go.
Nice chatting. Glad you got a chance to talk to what we like to call a human being.
You know the pleasure was all yours, Arlene.
And, of course, he does get drawn into some interesting situations and experiences throughout the film. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Hello, Dan.
Hello. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Dan, I know that you are a Midwesterner. You grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
But that's right.
Your filmmaking took you to Los Angeles, like so many others.
Mm-hmm.
What made you start thinking about making films in the Midwest again?
Well, I got my start in television in the Midwest, in Michigan, and it was the good people, the taxpayers of Michigan, that taught me everything I, you know, initially learned as a teenager in Grand Rapids. It was public access television, and you know, I miss making movies where people like to make movies. I miss making movies where people want to be a part of it. People, you know, make us homemade casseroles and bring them to set. And I don't think I need to tell you that that doesn't happen in Los Angeles.
So how did this film come about? I know that the star of the movie really wanted it to be shot in the Midwest.
Yes, Ted Trent is the star of the film and the producer as well, and he is from Belleville, Illinois, hence the name of our movie, Belleville, which is just something I wanted to name it because I've named a lot of movies after small towns that I have shot them in. But I was sent back here last summer by Ted to explore his hometown. And I had lived in northern Illinois, but never the south, so I didn't know of Belleville. And I really fell in love with it. And I loved the locations. I was excited about shooting in the fall with all the beautiful production design that Mother Nature provides. And so, I took to it right away. And we actually shot on his father's property, which, you know, helped the budget of our film.
Right. I can imagine how that would be helpful. And now in the film, Belleville is a small town in Illinois. It's not too far away from St. Louis geographically, but
it's
very, very far from St. Louis culturally.
Mm-hmm.
And so the theme of the movie, the plot of the movie is an unusual man. His name is Nila, arrives in town. And he doesn't know where he came from. He has the ability to learn things like how to read,
mm-hmm.
how to play the banjo very, very quickly. And he really draws a lot of attention to himself. Here's a very short clip from the film.
People here, everyone's known each other since they were little. They all went to school together. So you get someone coming in with sandals in the fall and platinum blonde hair. I mean, it's just like, who's this guy?
I love that clip because sandals in the fall seems like really the least
I know
the unusual things about Nila. But was that part of your idea is not just to have the film focus on Willie and Neela, this very strange man. We don't know where he came from. They form an unusual friendship, and that really changes both of their lives. But was it your idea to have the small town also be a character in the film?
Yeah, I love when town, you know, they always said New York City was a character in Sex and the City, one of the fifth character of that show. And I love when movies, I feel like an inspiration for Belleville was the movie, of course I just blanked on it, with Jack Black and Shirley MacLaine. It was set in Texas, and it's called Bernie, that's the name of the movie, and they incorporated all these great Texan faces into that movie. Richard Linklater, the director, who's one of my favorites. And I was inspired by that to do the same with Belleville and really fill it with 35-plus local people, some actors, some not, who really helped tell the story in sort of a faux documentary style.
And you mentioned Ted Trent, who is the star of the film, and, mm-hmm. and he plays Neela.
That's right.
Who else? Were there other Hollywood actors in the movie?
Yes. Okay. Tim O'Leary, I had just done another film with Ted and I in L.A., and Ted really wanted him to play the farmer. And Tim O'Leary, without his beard, looks like Rock Hudson in his heyday, or John Hamm right now. And so I was not about to cast somebody that looked like that as my Midwestern farmer, but I love Tim's talent. I mean, he's one of the finest sort of undiscovered actors I've had the privilege of working with, and he was the lead in the previous movie we had done. So Tim really had to prove himself to me, and he started growing out his hair and letting the gray grow in and showing me how rough he could actually look. And it worked. The more photos he would send me, the more I could start to believe him as Willie. And I knew he'd be a great job at, you know, he's a very method actor. He gets very into the internal mind of his character. You know, Tim came here, even though he's from Boston, as if he's from, you know, a big city. Tim is from Boston, but I mean, it's a big city, but I'm saying he's from the middle of the country as well. He spent all his time going to local hangouts and bars and restaurants and getting to know local farmers, and he really took his role very seriously.
So how did you go about recruiting the 35-plus individuals to be in the film from the area?
Oh, my gosh. It was, walking up to people at Panera Bread saying, you know, I know this sounds weird, but
right, that sounds like a pickup line.
Yeah, you sound like, you know, I would always just try to say, you know, you're the perfect type of person that I'm looking for. You have the right face. I know this sounds crazy, but I am a director. I'm sitting here outlining a movie that hasn't been written yet. And, you know, sometimes people, you know, didn't. Trust me and give me their info, or let me give them theirs. And then sometimes they did, or people would give me, they'd let me give them their info. And then when they saw an article come about out in the paper a few weeks later, then I would get emails saying, oh, I didn't know this was legit, but you know,
right.
Well, it appears that you actually do want me to be in your film.
In LA, when you put out a call for actors and actresses, I'm sure A, you get a lot, and B, you can say, I want this type of person, right?
I could say in LA, I need a one-armed African-American 82-year-old woman, and I'd have, you know, 1,000 submissions of legitimate one-armed 82-year-old African-American women in L.A.
So that's a lot harder to do
yeah,
in Illinois.
I mean, yeah, that doesn't happen here. No, you have to – you know what I did is I wrote in reverse. I started casting people before I wrote the movie. In other words, I had people come and just do an open audition, and I went through some of the agencies in St. Louis, and I started – I wanted to see if there was what kind of talent there was here in the Midwest. Because I didn't want to have to ship people in from LA. And I found such a plethora of talent around here that I started writing characters for some of the people I'd auditioned.
Now, the people who auditioned and wanted to be in the film, what do you think the motivation was?
Well, I mean, most of the people in the film are actors, so their motivation was obvious. They wanted to be in a movie. Most people in the middle of the country, obviously, there's a lot of theater opportunities and opportunities through church. And then, of course, people are shooting things everywhere, but generally student filmmakers and people who have great access to great equipment, they tend to make a lot of horror films, and that's about it.
Right.
Or maybe comedy, really broad comedy. But for the average talented actor who would like to add things to their reel, they do need to move to New York or L.A., and that's where someone like myself comes in. I'm thrilled to write character pieces, dramedy, and things that people would normally never get the chance to do in the middle of the country, and put them in my film. You know, it's great for me. It's, you know, it's new talent, and it's great for them because it's the kind of scene that they would never get on their reel otherwise.
Now, you had to be fairly creative then to find individuals to be in the movie. What about looking for a cast? I mean, did you bring videographers with you from L.A., or how did you do that?
Oh, crew.
Mm-hmm. That's what I meant to say.
Right. Crew, I brought in our sound person from L.A., because sound is the number one thing that low-budget films always fail at. It's really hard to get right. So I brought in a professional for that. And then I hired local professional cameramen in St. Louis. I mean, one had a lot of experience on features, and the other guy mainly did weddings.
Wow. But,
you know, and so there was a learning curve on that. But he had a great camera. He obviously knew his camera, but it's a different thing to shoot a film. But I had we shot with two cameras on this particular project. Which is just a style we chose, sort of based on the TV series Friday Night Lights.
Now, you mentioned writing some of the characters based on the people that you found.
Mm-hmm.
You also had some pretty interesting weather and scenery in
That's
the
right.
movie. Did you write based on how things were going? I mean, you have a lot of rain in the beginning of the
right.
film. Was that in the plan? Did you wait for a rainy day, or was
no,
that a surprise?
We completely lucked out. It wasn't in the script, but, you know, the metaphor for Willie's life being gloomy before Neela comes into it and changes it, it just couldn't have worked out better for us. And, in fact, when we heard it was going to downpour on the first day, and I mean downpour for 10 to 12 hours, I was thrilled, you know? I mean, I knew we would be miserable. We were shooting on a farm that had no electricity, no running water, no bathroom facilities, and no heat.
And you were soaking wet.
And we were soaking wet for 10 to 12 hours.
All right, we're going to take a short break. Yeah. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about film in the Midwest and in Iowa this hour. I'm talking with Dan Stedman, who's the writer and director of the new movie, Belleville. And we'll talk more about the film and also about its unique distribution model in just a moment. Then we'll take a broader look at film in Iowa. You're welcome to join our conversation. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about filmmaking in the Midwest. With me right now is Dan Stedman. He is the writer and director of the new movie, Belleville. And we'll talk more about the film in just a moment, about its unusual distribution method in a moment. Also, in a couple of minutes, we'll be joined by Liz Gilman, executive producer of Produce Iowa. And a little bit later in the hour, we'll also talk with the creative director of a film production company called My Town Productions. We also want to hear from you this hour. Are you a filmmaker in Iowa? Is this something that you've been involved in? Give us a call and tell us about your experiences. Has the way that people watch television, watch movies, how the fact that it's changed so much, has that changed the kind of thing that you can see? How do you take advantage of that to see independent film or independent productions? Join the conversation, 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Dan, before the break, we were talking about the huge amount of rainfall that you had mm-hmm. as you began filming and that features prominently in the film. You also, of course, shot in cornfields, a farm pond,
right.
A lot of very iconic Midwestern places. Was that appealing to you to have those kind of options?
Well, yes. You know, I mean, not only the writer, but as the director as well, it's my job to make a small budgeted film look as big and epic as possible. So this is not something that a screenwriter in Hollywood would do, but I have to look at what we naturally have that's filmic, you know. Fall leaves changing, that's $1 million in production design. A rainstorm, another $1 million to create a rainstorm in L.A. You know, we're saving millions of dollars by shooting with what we have. You know, a swamp covered in algae, you know, that would normally be a created set. And so that's the advantage of writing the way I do, is that you have to start with your locations first. And and I had some idea thematically what I wanted to talk about with the movie. But, you know, you have to look at what's available to you.
Now, one of the big challenges, in fact, the biggest challenge for independent filmmakers, of course, is getting their film seen.
That's right.
And your movie, Belleville, is opening in 13 cities, which is really broad distribution for a film of this scale.
That's right.
Tell me about the approach.
Well, we're trying to find a new business model outside of the Hollywood system. And in order to do that, you have to, number one, make a movie that people do like. And, you know, you can't just rely on people's charity to see your film. It still has to be good, because the best form of publicity is word of mouth. It's people telling their neighbor, I loved the film, go see it. And so that was my first priority, of course. And then I wanted to tell a story that meant something, which is why I tackled the subject of isolation and depression, and then ultimately hope that can be found after those places in life. And then we premiered. We did a big red carpet premiere that we got the full support of the city of Belleville, Illinois, behind. And our movie didn't just run one night. It ended up running 5 weeks and outperforming Spider-Man at that theater. And that led to the huge opportunity with this major chain, not just an art house chain, but Wehrenberg Theaters is a, you know, big multiplex cinema chain. But all along the way, I mean, we're doing buy one, get one free coupons. We're holding open auditions for our next film, which we hope will also shoot in Iowa. Those are all things that we're deliberately doing, because it's that I've moved from L.A. to the Midwest for the next 6 months. I mean, you have to make huge sacrifices, and you have to keep chipping away. It's, you know, movies originally in the 20s and 30s, they ran for a whole year.
Right.
They would slowly roll out over the country over a whole year. They weren't gone in a weekend the way they are now. I mean, now it's all about just Friday and Saturday, and that's it, if it doesn't do well. And that's certainly the case of ours, too, which is why we need people to go on Friday and Saturday night this weekend.
The film is opening in Cedar Rapids.
It is, yeah, at the Wehrenberg Theater there. And it's going to play for a whole week. So starting this Friday, we really need the community, you know, Iowa, to show up for this. We want to be able to shoot our next film in part in Iowa. And the only way we can do that is if this one works, you know, if people support it. It's all about opening weekend. In fact, by Sunday morning, the theater chain knows whether the movie is a success or not.
And you're following up the showing with a casting call for that next project.
Yeah, it's kind of happening simultaneously. In the actual Wehrenberg Theater there in Cedar Rapids, we have a casting director who's going to be there from 4 to 7 on Friday, and then from noon to 4 on Saturday. And it's, you know, we're expecting it could be a short line. It could be hundreds of people. There's a lot of interest in Iowa right now, not only in this film, but we encourage people, you know, number one, please see Belleville in order for us to be able to make another movie. And number two, come out and tell us their favorite sports stories, because we know our next feature is going to sort of revolve around sports. So it doesn't really matter. It's similar to what I did with Belleville. It doesn't really matter whether somebody considers themselves a professional actor with lots of experience. You know, if they just want to come out and tell us about their best sports story, either as a fan or as a player, we want to hear it in 2 to 3 minutes and put them on tape and see where that could lead. That's kind of how Belleville happened.
And are you doing that at all the theaters that'll be showing the film?
Yeah, all 13 theaters in all 4 states that we're in. So all the audition times are simultaneously in all 13 cities.
You're going to have a lot to watch.
I'm going to have so many hours to watch. That's why we're limiting people to 2 to 3 minutes, because, you know, frankly, you can really do a lot in 2 to 3 minutes if you just stay on topic. And our casting directors are from the area that you're in. I mean, Denise Austin and Allie Morgan. Allie Morgan is actually an actress in the movie Belleville. She'll be there auditioning people. And then it's on our website, but the star of the film, Ted Trent, is actually going to go to all 13 cities this weekend. It's going to be spread out over 5 days, but I know he's starting up in Iowa. So check out our Belleville movie website to see when Ted's going to be there. Because if you have questions you want to ask a Midwesterner about how he made this film that blew up like this, you can't do any better than to go meet the star of the film and ask him yourself.
So a lot of independent filmmakers are kind of just skipping the whole theater experience altogether.
Well, because it's almost impossible to get in theaters these days. I mean, I'm including independent films with major stars in them.
Right.
The world has changed. I mean, basically theaters are just for comic book movies and action films and horror films.
So why was it important for you to be in a theater?
Well, because I miss character-driven films in theaters. Those are my favorite kinds. I have to work very hard to get to movies in theaters that I want to see. Sometimes, like where I'm living right now, I have to drive over an hour. But it's worth it to me. It's worth it to support those movies, but it's also worth it. I consider that, you know, that is a very that is a luxury to be able to go and be told a story in a darkened room sitting amongst a bunch of strangers, respectfully, not checking their cell phone messages, sitting there and appreciating cinema for what it was meant to be on a big screen like that. And as much as I like to watch things at home, too, I still love that experience of getting out of the house and getting to do that. And in September, movies tend to slow down for a while from Hollywood. That's kind of their dumping ground for movies that they maybe didn't turn out the way they wanted to. And so I was hoping that, you know, our movie this weekend can offer an alternative to what Hollywood is releasing. And I hope that there's a bunch of people that want to see a story set in the Midwest that is relatable to almost every adult. Obviously, we added some supernatural into make the movie fun and light. But really, this is a friendship tale between two men, which you don't usually see on screen. And it's also a movie about somebody moving from a place of depression in his life to a place of hope. And I find that most adults have been through something like that in their life.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. It's a great conversation.
Dan Stedman is the writer and director of the new movie Belleville. And Belleville will be opening on Friday in Cedar Rapids at Werenberg Theater. It's opening in 13 cities around the country. And next, we're going to take a look at film in Iowa a little more generally. Liz Gilman is here now. She's executive producer of Produce Iowa. It's a one-woman office in an effort to rebuild the state's relationship with filmmakers. And for those of you who don't know, the Iowa Film Office closed in 2009 after a scandal linked to a mismanaged tax credit program. It killed some movie products, threw others into disarray, or moved them elsewhere. Some participants actually ended up going to jail for improperly exploiting the lucrative Iowa incentives. So this is a fresh start. This is unrelated to the Iowa Film Office. And Liz is here with me now. Hi, Liz.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you. Hey, I had a good time listening to Dan.
Great. So give me a little bit of background on Produce Iowa. This, like I said, it's a one-woman office. This is a fresh start.
It is a fresh start, and it's a great opportunity. We are now in the Department of Cultural Affairs, and we launched last year on May 1st. So I survived my first year and a few months, and so we are just promoting and facilitating media production here.
And how do you do that? What is your role?
Well, I'm kind of the ambassador for the state. So when people, you know, choose, and hopefully Dan will choose to film in Iowa, he would reach out to my office and I can help, you know, connect the dots for him. We also have a great new website that has a database of different crew and talent and locations. So that was my first goal once we said we're off and running. And that was to just, if I'm going to promote the state, I got to get out and see what we have to offer. So I spent a majority of the first year, and I continue to do so, going around the state and meeting with city leaders and different media and just getting a pulse of what's going on out there. And so, and I'm trying to rally people to get online to produceiowa.com and upload all their information. In the past, it's been the more old school. You had the spiral bound production guides. Now we have, you know, a virtual production guide. It's available 24/7, so people can update their information and put what they want out there, whether it's their website or IMDb site. And then it's up to producers, and they can search it 24/7, and they can be sitting over in, you know, wherever, internationally even, and check out Iowa.
We had a phone call just a moment ago, and she couldn't stay on the line, but a filmmaker who moved from New York to Iowa wondering, okay, now that there's been a reboot and a fresh start for an office related to the state government in Iowa, she's wondering about tax credits. Is that in the future?
Well, I think that would be something under the economic development arm, but I'm in the cultural affairs, so I'm creating a culture here, and I think it's important to create a solid foundation and to create grassroots. I'm actually seeing a lot of interest and a lot going on that I wasn't aware of. I mean, I've been in Iowa for years, been in the industry since the 80s, and I thought I kind of knew what was going on in the state. But I was just really surprised and happy to see that there's a lot of different productions going on right now. So we have growth. We have filmmakers coming here. A lot of Iowans are coming back. Dan mentioned he's about moving back to the Midwest. Just in the last week, I had two people tell me they're moving back to Iowa and they're going to be working on a film. One's up in northeast Iowa and the other is in the central area. So there's a lot happening.
Now, sort of at the same time the Iowa Film Office was imploding, there are a lot of other places trying to attract movies, big Hollywood movies. And for example, we were talking about Michigan, where Dan grew up. Michigan's one of those places that implemented a lot of tax credits, and a lot of people flocked to the state of Michigan to start making their movies that were based in the Midwest, where they needed a cornfield. They were going to go find a cornfield in Michigan. And I know that the original film office grew out of some tremendous successes with Hollywood movies that just sort of happened to be filmed in Iowa, like The Bridges of Madison County. I mean, obviously you can't recreate, you could, I suppose, but recreating Madison County somewhere else would
exactly.
be...
Exactly. Well, I just interviewed Kevin Costner back in June. You know, they were back for the 25th anniversary. And he said, you know, we came for the corn. So,
although
you know,
that film almost was filmed in Canada. So although the story took place in Iowa, it didn't have to be filmed here. And that worked out well for all of us.
Yeah, I think it's being authentic to the story because it came from the University of Iowa's writer's workshop. I mean, it was Shoeless Joe. It was created here, much like The Bridges of Madison County. And I think there's this authenticity that comes when you go to the place in which it was intended to be. And I asked, you know, Kevin and various people, I'm like, what do you think, you know, we should promote in Iowa? And, you know, why film in Iowa? And he was like, the light. You can't replicate the light here. So it's kind of saying what Dan said. I mean, there's, you know, the rainstorms and the locations that we have here are great. They're beautiful. And you can't recreate that out in California or some other place.
Well, you know, talking about movies that were supposed to take place in Iowa and were not filmed here. I mean, I can think of so many when I was growing up or before I was growing up. State Fair was one that wasn't, you know, took place in Iowa but wasn't shot in Iowa. There was Sleeping with the Enemy that was supposed to be in Cedar Falls was clearly not shot in Cedar Falls. What's Eating Gilbert Grape was filmed in Texas. So authenticity has never been the number one concern of a lot of Hollywood films.
Yeah, I think that's changing, though. I think people are wanting true stories. I mean, Dan mentioned that, too. I mean, you have the big animated style CG, you know, main events going on with Hollywood. But otherwise, the studios are changing. They're not doing the big blockbuster kind of movies that are coming out to outside of Hollywood. I mean, it's more of the independent, more story-driven movies that are happening. So the whole industry is changing.
And in creating these relationships with Iowa filmmakers, and I interview a lot of Iowa filmmakers, and I know there's a lot of creative work being done here in both documentaries and also in fictional feature films. Pilots for TV shows have been shot here, and really, really creative and exciting stuff. But in creating these relationships, like I said, the original idea was to bring Hollywood films here. Is that your goal, or what is your goal?
Well, my initial goal is really to help Iowans. I really think that we need to help people who live and work here and pay taxes and growing up here. So, you know, I really think my first priority is to Iowans and helping them. And then second is to reach out to Hollywood. I mean, I've been going to a few of the shows out there. I'm kind of, you know, strategically doing some promotional work to people out there. But I'm also getting, yeah, a lot of calls from Hollywood. It's the Iowans that are out there that are excited. There usually needs to be a relationship somehow with Iowa. But I mean, it's fascinating. When I worked on a project for the State Historical Building, they launched the Hollywood in the Heartland exhibit. You know, I was reaching out to our famous Iowans, and then I found out when I reached out to Ron Livingston, his agent is from Des Moines. And so after I talked with him, about a month later, I ran into him over at the Starbucks in Des Moines. So you'll be surprised at how many Iowans are out there and how many people are rooting for us.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Liz Gilman is here. She's executive producer of Produce Iowa. I'll also talk in just a moment with Scott Thompson. He's creative director for My Town Productions. We'd love to hear from you as well. Are you a filmmaker in Iowa? Tell us about your experiences and your goals. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about filmmaking in Iowa and in the Midwest. With me now is Liz Gilman, executive producer of Produce Iowa. And you're welcome to join the conversation as well. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Dan is on the line from Des Moines. Hi, Dan.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I was wondering if the Iowa Film Office was, or Produce Iowa was, not Iowa Film Office, so Produce Iowa was keeping track of how many crowdfunding things are going on in Iowa, their successes and stuff like that. How, and maybe also extrapolate that to how much, like, that's kind of like an indirect voting on how much people here in the state support the Produce Iowa rebirth, or whatever you want to call it. So I'd like to have Liz kind of explain that a little bit on how that might indicate back to the state legislature and how much support there is for this kind of activity.
Liz?
Well, I have actually not been gauging or keeping track of all the Kickstarter programs out there, just because I'm not focused on getting in the way of the business transaction between producers and Iowans. So I haven't. I mean, I can start Googling and find some of those, but I haven't gotten directly involved or really monitored what the private sector is doing.
All right. Well, Dan, thank you so much for your call. And I want to bring Scott Thompson into the conversation now. He is creative director of My Town Productions. It's actually a Wisconsin film production company, but does a lot of work here in Iowa. Hello, Scott.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
And, sure.
And so My Town Productions is a lot what it sounds like. You actually go from town to town and create a movie based on the place where you are?
Yeah, and our company name is My Town Pictures, by the way. We don't want to get confused with anybody else.
Okay.
My Town Pictures. But yes, that's the concept started, that we go from one small town to the next and create an original film in their community using only their actors or their citizens as our actors and crew members. That's how we started many years ago, 15 years ago, and have done 50 of those, many of them in Iowa. And a few years ago, we started expanding the concept of filmmaking from simple community movies to larger community movies, where we combine the best of professional filmmaking with the community movie model. And so the last few years, we've been bringing a lot of very familiar Hollywood actors to our small communities to do our movies, and adding tremendously talented Iowa-based filmmakers as crew. So I was very interested in what Dan was talking about, because basically his model is something we've been doing in Iowa for some time. And we're not bringing it from Hollywood to Iowa. We're kind of basing it in Iowa and bringing Hollywood to come be a part of what we're doing instead of the other way around.
So those early movies were kind of vanity projects for the town, an opportunity for people to see their town on screen and to see themselves on the big screen. And what made you, what gave you the idea of moving beyond that?
Well, as a screenwriter, which is my first passion, I wrote all 50 of those small-town movies and discovered a lot of great talent. A lot of the actors who are working with us now are actors who started in those little towns. You know, Dan talked about discovering people. Well, we've discovered hundreds of them over the years, and they're in every little town in Iowa. They just don't necessarily think they have the chance to be up on a big screen, and we gave them that opportunity. And now, after 50-odd screenplays, you tend to learn a lot about screenwriting and what audiences want. And so a few years ago, someone asked me if I would ever consider writing for a fully professional film, and my heart was still in the small community, so I combined the two, and we have done several of those, including one up in Tama County that had actors like Paul Sorvino and Sally Kellerman and Norman Lloyd and a lot of very, very familiar Hollywood faces joined us. And we shot it in two little towns that we had previously done our small community movies in, and had a great time doing that.
Now, what, and maybe there's a two answers to this question. I mean, what did small towns have to do to bring your production company to their town when you were doing more of these vanity projects, the smaller films?
The small films, it was a very small fee. My wife gave me lots of grief for charging such a little fee. but I would write, direct, shoot, edit, carry the bags, whatever I had to do. And they would pay me a very small amount of money to come do that, and then they would have the opportunity to co-own the movie with me, which they still do. All of these little towns co-own their movies with me. But then on the larger movies, they were asked to consider a larger commitment. You know, some communities met that challenge and raised a lot of funding because they thought that this was an excellent opportunity for their community to stand out and to show that Hollywood can come from inside Iowa. It doesn't have to always come from outside Iowa. We're trying to change that bias that, you know, real movies, quote unquote, have to come from outside Iowa, that Iowans can be involved in quote unquote real movies, but they have to come from somewhere else. We're trying to create the notion, and always have been, that real movies come from inside Iowa with Iowa writers, Iowa crew, and if the Hollywood actors want to come help us, which they are doing, we're happy to do that and to use the best technology and resources available. But I think our company is hoping to show that you don't have to do that from outside Iowa. You can do it right here.
So this latest film, the one in Tama County that you're talking about, is called A Place for Heroes.
A Place for Heroes.
How much money did these communities in Tama County have to raise to make this happen?
The budget for the film, investment budget, was $194,000 for the whole movie. Which is, if we had made the movie, and this is what Dan was getting to, if we had made that same movie with those same stars in Hollywood, it would have been in the millions of dollars. So we did it for much less, and the two communities there in Tama County came up with roughly 70% of that themselves. And then we had some outside funding, but also from Iowa, that made up the difference. And then Casey's General Stores provided us some funding. The movie had a veterans theme, and they they allowed us to shoot a scene in front of one of their stores, and then they provided some funding, which was very generous of them, because the film had a theme for military veterans.
Well, Kenan in Waterloo has been in three of your films. He's on the line now. Hi, Kenan.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Seth. This is Kenan.
Yeah. Hey, Kenan. How are you doing?
How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to congratulate. I was in The Call and then also A Place for Heroes. And I wanted to know kind of what the status of that Place for Heroes is, because people who have seen the sneak preview really like it, and people kind of want to know what the next steps are.
All right.
Yeah.
So where are you at with A Place for Heroes now?
The Place for Heroes, and we've shot three movies since that time. All four of those movies are in the process of gaining the distribution side. And we, like Dan was talking about, distribution, especially for independent movies, changes on an almost daily basis. So we are aiming first to get our contracts settled for the digital rights, which means movies on demand, iTunes, Netflix. That's the biggest audience now for independent movies. But he's absolutely right. There has to be some kind of a theatrical distribution, even a small theatrical distribution, because the smart distributors are always looking toward a variety of markets and not just one, and theatrical is a part of that. It's not the whole of that, and in fact, if you're looking to theatrical to make all your money back for the investors, that's not going to happen for a small movie, but it's great for promotion and PR, and it increases those sales on the digital and movies on demand side.
And with all of those investors, we were talking about that $194,000 budget. Do the investors get anything back?
That's why we're keeping our budgets low, because the usual thing you hear is if you have movies with Hollywood stars, again, it's the old model that needs to be broken here, the old biases that need to be changed, because, you can't make a movie for under $500,000, they used to say, with Hollywood stars. Well, that's not true anymore. But in order for the investors to make their money back, it has to be $200,000 or under is great if you can do it for that, but it can't stretch a whole lot more than that, because then you're really pushing the bounds of what independent movies can gain on the market. You can always hopefully catch something by way of a miracle and have the latest movie make millions of dollars, or you can keep building your profile and your foundation to keep building those movies with greater marketability, which is what we're doing over time. But in the long run, in these short, small community movies, not short movies, but small community mm-hmm. movies, you really need to have a low enough budget to where they can make their money back over time.
Okay, so
our budgets are well within that range.
So these, but these contributions, I mean, these are investments, not contributions.
Yeah, exactly. That's the cool thing about it is these towns where we're shooting the movie, they don't just host the movie. They don't just get to have their people in the movie. They own the movie. They whatever benefit's going to come from the movie is going to come right back to that town. And that's the missing piece, I think, to when Hollywood brings movies into the state. It's great for promotion for the town. It's great to have their people involved. But financially, what we want to do is bring the business to that town as well, so that they're not just benefiting promotionally, but they're going to be benefiting financially over the long haul.
What if you don't find the talent that you need in the town?
That has never been a problem. We have so much talent, not just in Iowa, but in the region. And some of the tremendously talented people we have found in the area are now able to get agents and starting to put their demo reels together to go to L.A. because now that they've had their chance and now that they have some really great credits, which they're getting through the films that we're doing and other people are doing, now they kind of put themselves in the middle of that long, long audition line in L.A. For getting roles out there. But I think a lot of actors are discovering that the better parts for them are here. Because if they go to L.A., they become part of a long, anonymous line of people waiting for parts. And here they can actually get those parts and prove what they can do so that they have something to take with them when they go to L.A. So there is a lot we can offer, and the talent here is really tremendous if people put the time into finding it.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
Scott Thompson is creative director of My Town Pictures. And Liz, before we run out of time, there are so many people who are making films in Iowa because they're artists, because they have a passion for filmmaking. And I realize there are a lot of production companies that make their money doing sort of more mundane video production, and then they put their energy into making a film that they really, really care about. But it's really hard to make money making those kinds of films in Iowa. Is part of the role of Produce Iowa to make it a little easier for people to actually make a living in this industry?
That's ultimately a goal. I mean, we really want to make it sustainable, and that's the key. I mean, it needs to come from the grassroots and bubble up, I believe, to make it sustainable here. So there are some grants, you know, the Iowa Arts Council, Humanities Iowa, you know, and hopefully I can help, you know, push the levels of grants up, because I also think leveraging is so important.
Brad is on the line in Vinton. Hi, Brad. Brad, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, and you are a filmmaker.
Yes, I am. I'm with a group of us that we're putting on a film called Wine Diamonds, Iowa Uncorked, iowawinefilm.com and on Facebook. Yeah, we have a passion for the Iowa wine industry. I've got about 10 years of experience in and out of the industry, and you know, the mission of the film is really to document the story of families coming back home to Iowa to join family farm operations that may not be doing corn and soybeans, or maybe in addition to corn and soybeans, putting in vineyards and wineries in addition. So, it's an exciting story.
So you've been in and out of the winemaking industry. Do you also have a history as a filmmaker? Is this a new venture?
For me, it's a new venture. I've teamed up with MVP Video Productions, and we've done commercial work together. I do public relations and marketing, and it just kind of happened that we worked together, and we found this common interest and desire to making documentary films. And we began in July filming the Mid-America Wine Competition, and we're going to be filming for the next year through August 2014, following six Iowa farm families, wine families, throughout the course of the year, and trying to understand what it means to be part of that industry, but also looking at the economic benefits to rural communities and the agricultural diversification of having wine grapes in Iowa.
All right, Brad, thank you so much for your call. A lot of projects going on. Liz, are there some things on the horizon that you're particularly excited about?
Yeah, I am. Actually, a week ago, I was up in Okoboji for a screening of The Midnight Swim. It was a feature film that was shot last year. And one of the characters was the lake, as Dan was mentioning. There are characters, you know, a part of that. West End Salvage, that's a TV show, not film, but they just wrapped their second season here. Of course, American Pickers. And I'm doing a partnership with Iowa Public Television. And I don't know if anybody caught Cinema Iowa, but I helped underwrite that program to be able to showcase filmmakers and festivals and actually the films. We hope to show those. And that, if we can get enough fundraising for the launch of the series, we hope to make that a monthly thing on Iowa Public Television. So there's a lot of things going on, and it's a great vehicle for independent movies to come here.
And you're still a one-woman office. Any hope of getting some assistance in the future?
Well, I am part of a department. So I do have, you know, marketing staff and graphics and other people there to help me. And right now I'm just, you know, I hope to bring in another person, but I also want to spend money and help the Iowans first.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Liz.
Thank you.
Liz Gilman is executive producer of Produce Iowa. We've been talking about filmmaking in Iowa and the Midwest this hour. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. The show is produced by Dennis Reese, Claire Roth, Lindsay Moon, and Emily Woodbury. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. You can send us an email anytime. We'd love to hear what you think about things you've heard on the show. We'd love to hear your suggestions for things you'd like to hear on the show. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.